Hello, and welcome to SAE International's podcast series, where we focus on technologies and trends in the mobility industry. I'm your host, Courtney Howard, editorial director and content strategist in SAE International's Aerospace Product Group. Today, we're discussing advanced manufacturing, specifically additive manufacturing, also commonly known as 3D printing, with Adam Rivard, additive manufacturing engineer at LAI International, the world's first National Aerospace and Defense Contractors Accreditation Program, or NADCAP, accredited additive manufacturing supplier for aerospace, defense, industrial, and medical applications. He serves on the leadership team for the SAE International Committee on Additive Manufacturing and is the chairman of the Processes Subcommittee. Prior to LAI, Rivard was the technology manager for the Additive Manufacturing Group at Pratt & Whitney. Thank you for joining me, Adam.
Thank you. Great to be here.
At SAE International, we've been talking about additive manufacturing for quite some time, with technical papers, books, articles, standards, and more available on SAE.org, SAE Mobilis, and SAE International's Advanced Manufacturing Knowledge Hub. We're taking this opportunity to look at it again and bring a unique perspective. So, Adam, LAI International earned the distinction of first NADCAP-accredited additive manufacturing supplier. Can you describe what this means, what NADCAP accreditation entails, and any benefits or assurances?
Definitely. LAI International is always focused on being the best we can be in our specific manufacturing processes, and a lot of times that entails acquiring or going after certain certifications as a way of validating the processes and the controls that we've put in place are truly effective and working. In additive manufacturing, since it is such a new and emerging industry, there aren't that many certifications out there, which is why we were happy and it was fortunate that NADCAP created their certification process as a way to ensure suppliers are executing this new technology in a repeatable and reliable manner. So we were glad to volunteer to be the first company to go through this process, really as a sanity check for our internal processes to say, are we doing everything we need to be doing based on the guidance of the industry experts who have put this checklist together? So we went through that a little over almost 2 years ago now, I guess 18 months ago, and it was a great experience. It definitely pushed our teams to dig into the details, make sure we dotted the I's, crossed the T's, had everything in place, and we were able to come out of it successful.
Thanks, and congratulations. Can you tell me a little bit more about LAI International, what types of components it produces for what industries and applications?
Definitely. LAI International is a full-service manufacturing company focusing on critical components. So we use a variety of different manufacturing technologies to make components for primarily the aerospace industry, but also we work with industrial applications, medical, and some defense industries as well. LAI has been around for over 85 years, and our expertise is really combining advanced manufacturing technologies in an innovative way to achieve results that others are not able to achieve and produce components that are pushing the bounds of what some people think are possible. So we've been able to do that effectively on a lot of different product families across the aerospace industry, from engine applications, airframers, and then other ancillary equipment within the aircraft.
That's great. So one of the ways you're pushing the envelope is you expanded to incorporate additive manufacturing into your workflow. Can you describe what prompted the adoption of additive manufacturing?
We had a lot of customers reaching out to us to expand their manufacturing capabilities. They saw the success that we have had on other programs using other advanced manufacturing technologies. And additive manufacturing a few years ago was getting a lot of buzz as this new emerging technology that holds all this potential. So it was only natural for those customers to ask LAI to pursue something like that since they knew we were so successful with other advanced technologies. So back in 2014 is when the conversations really started. In 2015 is when we pulled the trigger to bring the technology in-house. And really, our focus has always been treating additive manufacturing as another manufacturing tool. We have a lot of experience in advanced manufacturing technologies and how do you control those and execute those in a reliable manner. So there was no reason to reinvent the wheel. And that's something a little different about LAI, is that we don't treat additive manufacturing as anything different in that sense. We use it as another manufacturing tool in our toolkit and apply the same standards of quality and process control that we would for any other manufacturing technology.
That's great. Can you go into the kinds of additive manufacturing you employ?
Yes, we chose early on to focus on one specific technology and one specific material up front. So we are using electron beam powder bed fusion. The specific machines we're using are the RKM Q20 Plus, which is now owned by GE Additive, and focusing on titanium 6-4. The reason we did that is there are a lot of caveats and things to learn and challenges sometimes with additive manufacturing, and we wanted our team to be laser focused on one specific thing and make sure that we understood every intricate attribute of that technology so that we could execute it in a way that met our high standards and our customers' requirements.
That's great. What benefits does it bring, are you finding, versus traditional manufacturing technologies like CNC?
There's a variety of benefits, and it really depends where the customer is at in their design cycle. The most obvious benefit is time and lead time reduction. We're seeing a lot of opportunities with customers who are in a phase with their products where they're either redesigning or they have new product introductions, and they are crunched for schedule, and they need to get products designed fast, they need to get them validated, they need to get them out. And the advantage that additive offers is that very often we are able to try out multiple design iterations at once. There's no molds, there's no hard tooling in the printing process itself. So we often work with our customers, and instead of trying to print something, analyze it, come back a few weeks later and print it again, from the first time we will go through and print 3, 4, 5 different iterations and evaluate them all at once. So there's a huge time savings there in the development cycle. On the other side of the envelope is production. And the benefits that we're seeing there nearer term are cost reduction as the primary driver. There are certain components that yield themselves very nicely to the technology, and we're able to find a cost reduction over the traditional manufacturing technologies, but also performance improvements, which ends up resulting in an economic benefit, whether we're reducing weight or we're increasing the airflow or hydraulic flow or whatever it may be of the components. By increasing the performance of them, there's an economic benefit for our customers as well. So I'd say the primary motivator in production today that we're seeing is cost reduction. But now that we understand the technology and our customers understand it a little more, we're seeing them push the bounds and really implement performance improving designs in production as well.
Oh, fantastic. So it's helping fuel innovation, you find?
Definitely. There's no shortcut to fueling innovation in the sense of just putting a part in front of somebody and letting the designer hold on to something that was in their computer screen the week before. So it's amazing how exciting and how much this has reinvigorated a lot of the design teams that we're working with.
That's great. Can you speak to, you know, can you achieve greater precision? You know, is consistency an issue? Does it enable the production of more complex or intricate parts or designs?
Sure. The biggest thing is, yes, it enables the production of more complex geometries that previously would have either been not cost effective to produce or simply not possible to produce. And we're seeing that a lot with certain applications, such as manifolds and housings, things like that, where a traditional manufacturing technology would be to take a big block of material and cut as much of it away as you can, but you're still limited on how much you can take away. Whereas with additive, we simply only grow the material that we need to have on there. From a precision perspective, the technologies are getting better. I will say there, when we have very tight tolerances on parts, we still are post-processing and machining those features from a dimensional perspective and from a surface finish perspective. But the technology is precise, and it's extremely repeatable when it is under control. Just like any other manufacturing process, there's always going to be some level of variation, and it's up to the producer to characterize and understand and control that variation so that it's repeatable. But within that control level of variation, we see extremely repeatable results and reliable results when the process is executed in a controlled manner.
That's great information. Now, what percentage of manufacturing at LAI International is performed with additive manufacturing?
Overall, within the company right now, we're about 5 to 10% additive. It's still a very new technology for our company. As I said, we've been around, our oldest division is over 85 years old. So there's a lot of history and a lot of momentum going with the conventional manufacturing techniques. And we don't see additive as an opportunity to eliminate any of those. If anything, we are building on those with additive. So very often we're printing the parts, but we're also sending them into our conventional manufacturing lines for post-processing, where they're going to do the machining work or the surface finishing or inspection, whatever it may be.
All right, fantastic. Do you anticipate that that'll change in the future?
I do. I mean, additive is one of our faster growing groups for sure. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the industry in itself is maturing a lot. You're seeing industry specifications coming out now that our customers are able to utilize, and they don't have to develop those things themselves. So we're seeing pretty substantial growth in the additive industry. And we're also seeing the path to qualification become a little bit more straightforward, which in itself speeds up the adoption process for additive. So we definitely see it as a major growth sector within our company.
All right, great. Can you describe how the company is focused on the factory of the future and what that means exactly?
We've been focused on factory of the future for a long time, and not even just because we're using additive manufacturing. We have a system in place to essentially digitize our entire factory. And the reason being is the more real-time data that we can have, the better decisions we can make and the faster we can react to any inefficiencies in the lines. So we've applied Factory of the Future across all of our conventional lines, which essentially means we actually have a workstation right on the factory floor that not only is providing the work instructions to the operators executing the process, but it's also a direct point of contact where we collect all the manufacturing data as the parts are going through that manufacturing line. So all of the inspection data is immediately fed into the system. We're using statistical process control software to evaluate that data and watch for trends, make sure we have consistency. And it also will alert us if anything is going out of consistency so that we can immediately deal with that. The benefit that I've seen and I've had from that is that that was already happening within LAI outside of additive manufacturing. So now we bring this new innovative technology that sometimes has this reputation that it's not under control or not repeatable. And we're able to apply those exact same tools to this technology and apply statistical process control on the data and actually look at repeatability build to build and track that data real time. And what that's enabled us to do is really accelerate how quickly we can get to a fixed and repeatable process for our production lines, which otherwise you, without having all of that data available and at your fingertips and having the analytical tools in place to look at that data and draw conclusions from it, it would have taken us a lot longer to get to that point.
That's great. Now, where do you anticipate it going from here? You know, are you excited about another technology, about the availability of more additive manufacturing materials? What sort of stuff are you looking forward to?
I think it's both. It's always exciting to see the technologies themselves evolving. And I look at that in two fronts. I think there's incremental step changes in the existing technologies. So every trade show you go to, all the time you're looking at news announcements within existing technologies such as laser powder bed fusion or electron beam powder bed or deposition technologies. There are some incremental step changes and new features, new things coming out. The thing that has me more excited are some of these companies that are taking what I'll call the leapfrog approach and just doing something completely new and innovative. One of the things we're seeing more so now is closed loop control, where companies are using sensors and other inspection techniques within the process to monitor how the process is running. And rather than just simply reporting that out, it's actually using that data to real-time adjust the process. Things like that are very exciting because that's going to really help expedite the confidence and the maturity of the process because you now know that you're getting a good product out of the machine every time. So from the machine side of things, that's where I'm excited, just kind of those leapfrog innovations that we're seeing in these new companies coming out that aren't really looking at, they're changing the status quo and they're taking that next step. From a material perspective, there's a lot of work being done. There's a lot of new materials available. There's a lot of work being done to improve just the supply chain of materials to make them more affordable so that we can make better business cases with additive. And all that's extremely exciting to me. Our customers are always asking for different materials and different capabilities, and they always want lower cost. So the fact that there's so much momentum on the material side of things to drive both innovation and cost reduction is only going to help us grow our business.
Fantastic. Now, you're actively involved in additive manufacturing standards with SAE International as a member of the leadership team for the SAE International Committee on Additive Manufacturing and chairman of the processes subcommittee. Now, how are you and SAE helping to advance and enhance additive manufacturing through standards?
So a little over 3 years ago was the first meeting where SAE started the Additive Manufacturing Committee. And it was interesting there. The impetus or kind of the motivation to do that was actually driven by the FAA. At the time, the FAA was seeing more applicants come through with these additive manufacturing applications, and they didn't necessarily have a common way to evaluate them or look at the companies and understand, are they actually executing these in a controlled manner? And that's when the FAA approached SAE about creating some standards specific to aerospace. There are other standards for additive manufacturing out there that are being widely used at this point in a variety of different industries, whether it's medical or automotive or industrial. But aerospace often has a higher level of criticality and a need for a higher level of control of the process. And that's why the FAA specifically came to SAE with their reputation for aerospace standards and asked, can we do something about this? So for the past 3 years, essentially, we have been trying to answer that question, is how do we create something that will help the industry as a whole execute additive manufacturing in a safe, reliable, and controlled manner?
All right, great. What additive manufacturing standards are key?
So we look at additive standards in four buckets, I'll call them. At the end of the day, what you need to control is the material produced. So that's the highest level standard, and that's where you have your performance requirement that says your material must have this level of capability. But in order to get to that point, there's contributing factors. Of that, there's really two sides of it. There's the additive manufacturing process itself. So how is that process executed and what needs to be controlled while executing that process? And there's also the feedstock or the material that's going into that process, whether it's powder or wire or foil or another type of media that's going into there. And then leading into that, there's also the process to make that feedstock. So those are the four buckets. At the very bottom line, you have how are you making feedstock? Then you have the feedstock itself and the additive process. And then once you combine those two together, at the top line, you have the actual material that's produced from the process.
All right, great. So given that you've been through the process, what advice would you give companies that are looking to start to integrate additive manufacturing into their workflow?
The biggest thing that needs to be looked at is take a step back and look at the entire process as a whole and identify any source of variation within the process, and then prioritize those and strategically attack them. I was extremely fortunate to come in with a clean slate, essentially. LAI had not gone into additive manufacturing, and we had a blank slate that said, what do we need to do? And having previous additive manufacturing experience, we were able to come in and lay out that complete process map, and within each of those process steps, identify what are the variables and what are the elements that need to be controlled. I think that's a little bit easier today, honestly, than it was a few years ago, now that there are specs out from SAE and that identify what those key process variables are, and that gives producers a leg up in the sense that they don't have to figure those out. They still have to go through and identify what the right settings are for those process variables, but they at least know what they're going after. So that's what I would do at this point, knowing that those specifications do exist, is take those, identify those key process variables, and then put controls in place as a company to make sure that you're controlling those and can execute repeatably.
All right, fantastic. How about selecting additive manufacturing equipment, validating a new additive manufacturing process?
We're always asked, what is the best machine out there? And the answer is none of them. There are really, I think their first and most important thing is understanding the requirements of the application you are trying to produce, because different machines are better for different things. And I think that will always be the case. I don't see a perfect Swiss Army knife being built anytime soon that can just do everything. So the first thing I always say is understand the application that you're trying to produce and what are the attributes of that, whether it be geometric constraints that you'd have or material property constraints or surface finish or different elements. From a technical perspective, you need to understand that. And then understand what are the actual capabilities of each machine. Certain machines are better at executing different materials. Certain machines will give you better dimensional reliability. Certain machines are faster, but you may take a sacrifice on dimensional stability or feature size, things like that. So there is no one size fits all, but the most important thing is understanding what the characteristics are of the machines that matter, and then matching those to what characteristics you need to get out of the part you want to produce.
That's great advice. Thank you. Is there any other caveats, lessons learned, or recommendations that stand out to you?
The one biggest recommendation I'll make, especially with equipment specifically, none of the equipment I've used to date is perfect. It's very fast, innovative, emerging technology, and everyone's moving as quickly as they can to improve on things. But I think anyone will admit that nothing is perfect, and there's still things that need to be worked on. So with that, I'll say, in addition to the equipment and the specifications of the actual machines, take a hard look at the company itself and the support group they'll have behind them, so that as you're going through this journey and bringing a new technology like this online, you want to make sure the team you're working with is going to be responsive and be able to support your needs. So that, to me, is the most important element, aside from the technical aspect of the machine, is the support structure that's behind it within the company to make sure that as a team, you will be successful.
Great. So looking to the future, where does additive manufacturing hold the most promise for aerospace, do you think?
I think the biggest, ultimately long-term, where you would see performance improvements. As I said earlier, a lot of companies today are really looking at purely just cost reduction because they don't have the maturity of the technology, so they need to prove it out on something that they understand. But longer term, what you're going to see is step change in performance and realizing new capabilities that were never possible before, because these geometries and these ideas that our brilliant designers have had in their heads for years, there was no way to make them. And those barriers are starting to get knocked down with additive manufacturing. So I've seen some amazing innovations and ideas now that people are trying that will create step changes in the industry and enable designs of aircraft and other features that we just could never even think of before. So that's really where I see it. Now that the technology is becoming reliable, it's repeatable, it's truly a production technology, now the design community is starting to get on board a little bit more and bringing some of these ideas forward and trying them out. And that's where I see things are going to change. There's just amazing amount of talent in our design community, and they've been held back a little bit just because there wasn't a technology that could produce that. But now additive opens a lot of those doors, and we're going to see some amazing things.
Oh, that's incredible. Is there anything else that has you particularly excited? Any emerging projects or technologies or applications?
I think the other area of additive that I'm most excited about is the software side of things. I always say that the limiting constraint is the toolkit that you give the designers to produce these parts. And we're seeing a lot of innovation in the actual software that designers are able to use to produce parts now, which enable them to realize the design that is swirling around in their head that they thought about, but maybe in a computer environment, they can't physically get that idea from their brain into a 3D model. So we're seeing a lot of interesting innovations there from a modeling perspective. And in addition to that, the simulation side of things, there's a lot of cost involved with additive today in developing and qualifying an application. But I think a lot of that is going to be reduced or eliminated through some of these virtual technologies where you can simulate the process and know if it's going to work and make and do those iterations virtually before you're physically melting any material. So I think those two areas, in combination with the other comments I've made about machine innovations and materials, really are going to help drive the industry forward.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you for your time and valuable insights, Adam. Where can we find more information about LAI International?
The best place to go is our website. That's www.laico.com. And from there, you'll be able to learn more about our technologies, our people, and get in contact with us if you need to.
Fantastic. Thanks. And thank you for listening in on another SAE International podcast. Join us again as we continue to bring you informative podcasts on various topics and technologies. And be sure to visit SAE.org, SAE Mobilis, and the SAE International Advanced Manufacturing Knowledge Hub for technical papers, books, webinars, and much more on additive manufacturing. Until next time, thank you.